Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Ram Goldar, and today we're Zichu Baba Kama Daf Samach, the sixth Perek Hakones. The sixth Perek has been generously sponsored by the Klein family as a schus for Refuah Shlema for Gittel Zissel Bas Rachel. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in a brisa, Liba Vlibata Ruach. If one fanned the fire and the wind fanned it, if the person's fanning was sufficient to spread the fire, he's chayev. But if not, he's pater. The Gemara said it should be like Zorev, a Ruach Masayito, one who winnows on Shabbos, and the wind assists him by blowing away the chaff, where he's chayev for being Machal Shabbos. First, three answers are given why he's not responsible for blowing on the fire. Number one, he fanned the fire from the opposite side as the wind, and so did not contribute to the fire at all. Number two, he's blowing together with a normal wind, which would not have spread the fire. Then, an abnormal wind, which he was not required to anticipate, spread it. And number three, he merely breathed on the fire and did not blow on it and didn't contribute to its spreading. Rav Ashi answers that the liability for winnowing with the assistance of wind is specific to Shabbos. The Melechus Machshevas Asur Torah, where the Torah prohibited purposeful work, whereas damage inflicted through the wind is considered indirectly caused, v'grama b'nizakin patre, and one is exempt for mere causative damage. Point number two, Rav Yosef taught a brisa about a pasuk regarding Machas Bechoros. Batem Otseitzu Ish Mepesach Beso Ad Boker, and you Jews shall not leave the entrance of the house until morning. It explains, Kevin Shenitim Reshus L'Mashchis, once permission has been given to the destroying force to destroy, Eino Mavchin Ben Tzedikim Rishayim, it doesn't distinguish between Tzedikim and Rishayim. Therefore, Jews would be endangered if they would leave their homes. The brisa adds that the destruction actually begins with the tzaddikim, as the pasuk says, "Vikrati mimech tzaddik v'rasha," and I have cut off righteous and wicked from among you. First, mentioning the righteous in the destruction. Rav Yosef Webb saying, "Kuli hai nami la'ain domin," so much so that the tzaddikim are like nothingness. Abaye told them, "Tivusuhu agabayu." It's a favor for them, as the pasuk says, "Kivnei ha'ra'a nasav ha'tzaddik." It's because of the impending evil that the righteous one was gathered in. And point number three, the Gemara analyzes an incident in which David had a craving for water from Beis Lechem, which it interprets to mean that he sought the Sanhedrin's ruling on a halachic question. Three warriors risked their lives breaking through the camp of Plishtim to obtain a resolution, and David objected to their doing so. Amram discussed what his inquiry was. Number one, Rav Nachman says his question was about liability for tamun be'esh, hidden items destroyed by fire. Number two, Rav Huna says Plishtim were hiding in piles of barley belonging to Jews, and he asked if he could burn them. May one save himself through destroying someone else's property? The answer that is normally prohibited, but as king, he can be poritz lasos loderech, break through fences to make a path for himself, and no one can protest against him. And number three, David wished to feed the Jews barley to his animals with the intent to repay later with lentils owned by Plishtim. He was told based on a pasuk that even though a person repays his theft, he's still considered a wicked person. However, as king, David could do as he needed. These explanations are analyzed further. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, a brisa states, Liba v'libata ruach, if one fanned the fire and the wind fanned it, if the person's fanning was sufficient to spread the fire, he's chai, but if not, he's pater. The Gemara said it should be like Zorev, a ruach masayito, one who winnows on Shabbos, and the wind assists him by blowing away the chaff, where he's chai for being machal Shabbos. First, three answers are given why he's not responsible for blowing on the fire. Number one, he fanned the fire from the opposite side as the wind, and so did not contribute to the fire at all. Number two, he's blowing together with a normal wind, which would not have spread the fire. Then, an abnormal wind, which he was not required to anticipate, spread it. And number three, he merely breathed on the fire and did not blow on it, and didn't contribute to its spreading. Rav Ashi answers that the liability for winnowing with the assistance of wind is specific to Shabbos. The Melechus Machshevas Asur Torah, where the Torah prohibited purposeful work, whereas damage inflicted through the wind is considered indirectly caused, v'grama b'nizakin patre, and one is exempt for mere causative damage. Point number two, Rav Yosef taught a brisa about a pasuk regarding Machas Bechoros. Batem Otseitzu Ish Mepesach Beso Ad Boker, and you Jews shall not leave the entrance of the house until morning. It explains, Kevin Shenitim Reshus L'Mashchis, once permission has been given to the destroying force to destroy, Eino Mavchin Ben Tzedikim Rishayim, it doesn't distinguish between Tzedikim and Rishayim. Therefore, Jews would be endangered if they would leave their homes. The brisa adds that the destruction actually begins with the Tzedikim, as the pasuk says, Vikrati mimech tzaddik v'rasha, and I have cut off righteous and wicked from among you, first mentioning the righteous in the destruction. Rav Yosef Webb saying, Kuli hai nami la'ain domin, so much so that the Tzedikim are like nothingness? Abaye told them, Tivusuhu agabayu. It's a favor for them, as the pasuk says, Kivnei ha'ra'a nasav ha'tzadik. It's because of the impending evil that the righteous one was gathered in. And point number three, the Gemara analyzes an incident in which David had a craving for water from Beis Lechem, which it interprets to mean that he sought the Sanhedrin's ruling on a halachic question. Three warriors risked their lives breaking through the camp of Plishtim to obtain a resolution, and David objected to their doing so. Amram discussed what his inquiry was. Number one, Rav Nachman says his question was about liability for tamun be'esh, hidden items destroyed by fire. Number two, Rav Huna says Plishtim were hiding in piles of barley belonging to Jews, and he asked if he could burn them. May one save himself through destroying someone else's property? The answer that is normally prohibited, but as king, he can be poritz lasos loderech, break through fences to make a path for himself. And no one can protest against him. And number three, David wished to feed the Jews barley to his animals with the intent to repay later with lentils owned by Plishtim. He was told based on a pasuk that even though a person repays his theft, he's still considered a wicked person. However, as king, David could do as he needed. These explanations are analyzed further. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Samach, and this siman was suggested to us by Eli Tabari from Texas and by Joe Mann from New Jersey. They both suggested that Samach is a smiley face, and we use smiley face stickers for the siman. So here goes. The man who fanned a flame with a smiley face sticker from the opposite side of the wind so he wouldn't be chayiv got caught in a storm of angry face stickers that poured down from the sky outside a house where Jews made sure not to leave the entrance, while three warriors risked their lives running through them on a mission to find the psak on three shilas for their king. Once again, it's a motion. The man who fanned a flame with a smiley face sticker, that must have been warned off Samach. The man who fanned a flame with a smiley face sticker from the opposite side of the wind, so he wouldn't be chayiv, which reminds us of Brisa states that if one fanned the fire and the wind fanned it, if the person's fanning was sufficient to spread the fire, he's chayiv, but if not, he's putter. The Gemara said it should be like one who winnows on Shabbos, and the wind assists him by blowing away the chaff, where he's chayiv for being mechal Shabbos. So first three answers are given as why he's not responsible for blowing on the fire. The first one being, he fanned the fire from the opposite side as the wind, and so he did not contribute to the fire at all. Rav Ashi answers that the liability for winnowing with the assistance of wind is specific to Shabbos, the Malachas Mach Shabbos Asur Torah, where the Torah prohibited purposeful work, whereas damage inflicted through the wind is considered indirectly caused, v'gramma b'nezakim pater, and one is exempt for mere causative damage. So the man who fanned a flame with a smiley face sticker from the opposite side of the wind so he wouldn't be chayiv got caught in a storm of angry face stickers that poured down from the sky outside a house where Jews made sure not to leave the entrance, which reminds us, Rav Yosef taught a brisa about a pasuk regarding Makas Bechoros, V'atem oseitzu ish mepesach beso ad boker, and you, referring to the Jews, shall not leave the entrance of the house until morning. It explains that Kevin Shenitim Rishus L'mashchis, once permission has been given to the destroying force to destroy, it doesn't distinguish between the righteous and the wicked. Therefore, Jews would be endangered if they would leave their homes. So the man who fanned a flame with a smiley face sticker from the opposite side of the wind, so he wouldn't be chayiv, got caught in a storm of angry face stickers that poured down from the sky outside a house where Jews made sure not to leave the entrance, while three warriors risked their lives running through them on a mission to find the psak on three shilas for their king. Which reminds us, the Gemara analyzes an incident in which David had a craving for water from Beis Lechem, which it interprets to mean that he sought the Sanhedrin's ruling on a halachic question. Three warriors risked their lives breaking the camp of the Plishtim to obtain a resolution, and David objected to their doing so. Amram discussed what his inquiry was, and three opinions are brought. So once again, the man who fanned a flame with a smiley face sticker from the opposite side of the wind, so he wouldn't be chayiv, got caught in a storm of angry face stickers that poured down from the sky outside a house where Jews made sure not to leave the entrance, while three warriors risked their lives running through them on a mission to find the psak on three shilas for their king. All right, so now it's time for four blah back chazara. Daf nun vav. So the siman daf nun vav is a shusher and shul going nu nu. So here goes. The shusher. That must mean we're in daf nun vav. Nu nu. The shusher was so busy shushing the man who accidentally broke someone's weak wall leading an animal to escape and bragged that he was pater midine adam, telling him that he was still chayev bidine shamayim, which reminds us, the Gemara brings four cases which are pater bidine adam, the chayev bidine shamayim, where their liability bidine shamayim is a chiddush. The first case is where one breaks someone's wall allowing his animal to escape. One can think he's not even chayev bidine shamayim for the lost animal since the weak wall was meant to be dismantled. So the shusher was so busy shushing the man who accidentally broke someone's weak wall leading an animal to escape and bragged that he was pater midine adam, telling him that he was so chayev bidine shamayim, that he didn't notice robbers striking an animal to get it to leave its enclosure, which qualifies as meshicha, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Nun Hayam Beis taught, Hotziuha listim listim chayovim, if robbers took the animal out of its enclosure, the robbers are chayev for any damage it inflicts. The Gemara asks that this is obvious because by pulling an animal, they acquired it in theft and are responsible for its damages. One explanation that it's a case of hikisha, where the robber struck the animal causing it to move. This qualifies as mashicha and makes him liable for the animal's damages. So the shusher was so busy shushing the man who accidentally broke someone's weak wall leading an animal to escape and bragged that he was pater bedine adam, that he was still chayev bedine shamayim, that he didn't notice robber striking an animal to get it to leave its enclosure, which qualifies as mashicha. Nor the man who found a lost watch and became a Shomer Aveda, which some say is like a Shomer Sacher, which reminds us, Amoraim dispute the status of a Shomer Aveda, one who watches a lost object, which he found. Rabba says, Kashomer Chinam Dam, he's considered like an unpaid custodian, and explains what Hanah comes to him from watching it. Rav Yosef says, Kashomer Sacher Dam, he's considered like a paid custodian, and explains because of the Hanah he derives that he doesn't need to give bread to a poor person while he's involved in caring for the lost object because of the rule of Osik B'mitzvah, Patamina Mitzvah, and therefore he's considered a Shomer Sacher. Another explanation is given. Daf Nun Zayin. So the Zimmer Daf Nun Zayin is a nose, and we use a puppet with a very long nose. So here goes. The Shomer Aved who returned a lost puppet with a long nose, that must be more Daf Nun Zayin. The Shomer Aved who returned a lost puppet with a long nose to the owner's secure garden without the owner's knowledge, which reminds us where Belazar rules, a called Srichen Das Balim, every item being returned, such as a stolen item or a pikadon, requires the owner's awareness that it was returned. Otherwise, he's still responsible for it. Chutz, Mahashava Saved, except from returning a lost item, which may be returned without the owner's knowledge, Shariv Sabot Torah Hashavas Harbi, because the Torah included many types of returning. So the Shomer Aved who returned a lost pup with a long nose to the owner's secure garden without the owner's knowledge, recalling that the last time he was a Shomer Aved and swore that the lost item was stolen by an armed robber, ended up making Mechayiv to pay Kefil. Which reminds us, Rav Yosef said, Aton Tanis Listi Mezuin, where one makes a claim that a lost item that he found was stolen by an armed robber, which is an onus, for which even a Shomer Sacher is pater, he pays double for falsely claiming so. Although one only pays Kefil for a claim of theft by a gunav, one who steals secretly, and not a gazlan, one who robs openly through force, Rav Yosef holds that an armed robber, since he hides from people, he's classified as a gunav. So the Shomer Aved who returned a lost pup with a long nose to the owner's secure garden without the owner's knowledge, recalling that the last time he was a Shomer Aved and swore that the lost item was stolen by an armed robber, ended up making him chayev to pay kefil. Overheard someone who rented a cow say he would pay for the stolen cow and not swear, knowing if the thief gets caught, he'll receive kefil. Which reminds us, if someone rented a cow and it was stolen, and instead of swearing to exempt himself, he said, Areini mishalom ve'eini nishba, I shall pay, and not swear, and the thief was later found, mishalom tashumi kefil esocher, he pays kefil to the renter because by paying for it voluntarily, he acquires the stolen cow. Daf Nun Ches. So the Simmer Daf Nun Ches is Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper. So here goes. When Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, that must have been wearing Daf Nun Ches. When Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, was chasing a lion away from someone's property, he noticed someone's sheep had fallen into the garden, damaging some produce, which reminds us two reasons are given as to why the concept of Mavriach Ari Menichse Chavero, chasing a lion away from someone's property, where one does not collect benefits from the property's owner because he was performing a mitzvah in protecting the property, does not apply where a sheep fell into someone's garden and the produce cushioned the fall. Number one, Mavriach Ari is done medaito knowingly, whereas the owner of the garden saved the animal from injury unknowingly. And secondly, Mavriach Ari does not suffer a loss by chasing away the lion, whereas this one suffers a loss of his produce's damage, and therefore he may collect the animal's benefit. So when Noach Goldberg the zookeeper was chasing a lion away from someone's property, he knows someone's sheep had fallen into the garden, damaging some produce, and was now eating more produce going from one row to the next, which reminds him, was taught that if someone's animal fell into a garden and ate produce, he pays for its benefit but not the full damages. Rakana says this is only true for that bed onto which it fell. Rashi explains the animal could not restrain itself from consuming that bed. Avama aruga la aruga, but if it went from one row to another row and ate there, Meshalemis Masha Hazika, it pays for what it damaged because the owner is negligent for not removing it. Rabbi Yochanan says that even if the animal went from one row to another all day, the owner would still only pay its benefit, Ashitetsi Vitaksu Ladas, until it leaves the garden and returns with the owner's knowledge. So when Noach Goldberg the zookeeper was chasing a lion away from someone's property, he knows someone's sheep had fallen into the garden, damaging some produce, and was now eating more produce going from one row to the next, while the homeowner was busy assessing the damage as part of a larger area of a besa, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis taught that where an animal damaged produce in a field, the damage is not assessed according to the value of the produce, but according to the field's loss in value. Furthermore, the assessment is not made for the specific area of damage, but as part of a greater area of a besa of land. or masim provides the source, ubir b'stei acher, and it consumes in the field of another. This teaches that they assess the damage based on another larger field. The Gemara brings different opinions as to how the price of a beisa is evaluated. Daf Nun Tes. So the simmer Daf Nun Tes is a knight. So here goes. The knight in shining armor, knight? That must be more on Daf Nun Tes. The knight in shining armor who was getting an assessment for the damage done when his horse ate the farmer's newly sprouted grain, which reminds us of Brisa Nun Chesam Beis discussed assessing chazis, newly sprouted grain which was eaten by one's animal. Rabbi Yosef Galili said, Nidon b'meshuyar shebo, it's judged based on what remains in the field, meaning the remaining grain is evaluated at harvest time to determine the damage of the undeveloped grain. The Chachamim say we assess the value of the land with its stalks before it was damaged, and its value after its stalks were damaged. Thus, they fall the grain's current value. So the knight in shining armor who was getting an assessment for the damage done when his horse ate the farmer's newly sprouted grain didn't realize his horse was busy eating budding grapes, which would cost him more, minus the weakening of the vine, which reminds us of the Brisa taught that if an animal eats madar, budding grapes, Rabbi Yeshua says he pays what their value would be at harvest. After the Gemara establishes that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is saying the same thing, it explains that they argue about kachash gufna, deducting the weakening of the vine, which would have occurred if the grapes had remained on the vine until harvesting, drawing nourishment from the vine. So the knight in shining armor who was getting an assessment for the damage done when his horse ate the farmer's newly sprouted grain didn't realize his horse was busy eating budding grapes, which would cost him more minus the weakening of the vine, because he was nervous looking at three people coming, one carrying a fire, one carrying some wood, and one carrying a bellows to fan the flame, which reminds us, if one brought wood and then another brought fire, the one who brought the fire is chayev. If another person came and fanned the fire, without which it would not have grown to a fire capable of damage, he alone is liable. If it was fanned by a wind, all of them are exempt. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which duff do we discuss the exemption of Mevriach Ari Menichse Chavero versus an animal falling into someone's garden? That's on duff. Nunchas. Good, number 2. Which duff do we discuss three warriors of David HaMelech who risked their lives and ran through a camp of the Plishtim to bring a Shiloh to the Sanhedrin? That's on duff. Samach. Good, number 3. Which duff do we discuss a fire to which multiple people contributed, where one brings the fire, one brings the wood, and one fans the flame? That's on duff. Nuntas. Good, number 4. Which duff do we learn one is not chayv if he fans a flame in the opposite direction of the wind? That's on duff. Samach. Good, number 5. Which daf do we have machok is whether a shomer aveda is like a shomer sachar or a shomer chinam? That's on daf. Nun vav. Good, number 6. Which daf do we discuss kashas gufna, deducting the weakening of the vine? That's on daf. Nun tas. Good, number 7. Which daf do we have machok is about killing damages in a boar? That's on daf. Nun dalad. Good, number 8. Which of the one B'nai Yisrael were told not to leave their homes during Machas Bechoros because the Mashchis does not distinguish between Tzaddikim and Rashaim? That's on Dav. Samach. Good, number 9. Which of the one why Tov only appears in the second version of the Aseres HaDibros and the meaning of one who sees a test in his dream? That's on Dav. Nunhei. Good, number 10. Which of the one that a Tohen Tainus Lisa Mizuyin, one who claims a lost object was stolen by armed robbers, pays Kefil? That's on Dav. Nun Zion. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.